Welcome to the Digmann Fitness Podcast. Digmann Fitness is a place where families can become injury-free and have fun with functional exercise. We want to improve quality of life by preventing pain, reducing risk of injury, and improving function at work and at play. We promise to deliver the best tools necessary to help you restore your body and revitalize your life. Revitalize your life.
Revitalize your life. Hey guys, welcome to the Everyday Strongman Podcast here with your host, Corey Digmann from Digmann Fitness and Shane Cicero.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on? Let's kick it off here. We got a lot of stuff we've been working on within the last month or two or even 3 months with a lot of fun things with the Everyday Strongman and even competing in your first Strongman.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. So I guess having watched you kind of do the Strongman events over there in Stoughton, I got to check that out. And it was like one of those things. I'm like, we got to do this. Like, this is, looks super awesome. And I'll kind of go back just a little bit on that. So growing up, I watched strongman competitions like all the time. I mean, that was what me and my best friend used to do. We used to sit around rather than being outside riding our bikes and playing as, preteens, teenagers, like we probably should have. We were sitting home on a Saturday morning after Saturday morning cartoons, watching ESPN, and they would put on like the reruns of all the strongman competitions. It would be like 4 hours of strongman competitions, and then they wouldn't always be in succession, so it'd be like you'd see one and then sometimes you get like the continuation to see how everybody was doing, but
heat
then
one and then heat five right after.
Yeah but otherwise it would be like completely other strongmans. And so actually seeing you doing a strongman competition
on ESPN, no, I'm just kidding. No.
we're working our way there. So that was like what. So when you said that you were doing one, I was like, holy cow, I got to check that out. And of course, working out at the gym, seeing you kind of implement some of those things before, like just kind of into the group exercises and stuff, I was like, I really like those exercises. Those are a lot of fun. And so anytime I would miss, you'd end up posting something where it was like, hey, we just like flip tires all day. And I'm like, ah! Yeah, I missed the fun stuff. Or, hey, we just carried stones, and, I'm like, I missed it, Yeah. So, yeah, so anyways, super excited, and I don't know, for whatever reason, this has sort of clicked in my brain as a, bucket list thing to click off and need to do a strongman competition. So why not?
I think that's just kind of like beyond a goal of like an aspiration of something that really like interests you when you're a kid. So like, when something is beyond your goal, you just find time to fit it in. You've been as consistent as anybody because of wanting to kind of strive for that first strongman contest, because it was really exciting for you as you're a kid.
Yeah,
as you grew up. So
let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about obviously I'll be honest, I've been working out here for I guess almost a year. I mean, maybe not quite, maybe like 8 months. But yeah, so, I mean, obviously this has been a definite change. So finding that thing that clicks, right, I mean, is very important for anybody who's looking to kind of get into doing something either physical or just mentally enduring, right? I mean, I'm sure you could probably attest to what my performance was before trying to work things in and maybe not necessarily being engaged but not fully engaged the way that like the strongman stuff has.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool to see you and others, transform into like, hey, I want to get fit, or from, hey, I want to get fit and strong and healthy as more of a broad goal into like something really specific. Not only strong, fit, but like, hey, I want to get ready for the strongman contest. So it's kind of takes it at next level of like, competition and urge to get your goals met.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a finite goal to that, right? I mean, if you think about it, there's, when we set out and do goals, and I think, we're going to probably dive into the goals that we've kind of set here as well. But when you're thinking about, right, setting a goal, anybody can see, hey, I want to make $1 million, right? And okay, great. So I set a goal.
When you're going to make it.
Right. Yeah. That's just it. So when are you going to do it? So I think by having that, there's a contest, there's a competition, like that's finite, right? I mean, there's there's a deadline, there's a date in which you have to compete. So you have to make sure that you're, you know, motivated and working towards that. And I think that's one of those things about goals that people just sort of pass over. It's like, and then they look back and are like, well, I don't understand why I'm not making $1 million or why I'm not doing X, Y, or Z. You know, I'm, you know, that's my goal. That's what I want to do. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you got to be able to kind of set that deadline. And I think, you know, putting that contest in there, and yeah, I agree. I mean, everybody else that's kind of doing the strongman stuff, you know, having that date and that deadline, I think is really kind of push people, you know, because we need to, I mean, you know, it's going to hit the fan. I mean, it's going to come to a head. I mean, show up and it's going to be like, so either you show up, and I mean, that could be really embarrassing being the, all right, so we're starting weight is 250 and, you know, you're not even lifting that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's huge motivation. I mean, like having that outlier goal and that dream, and then having, you know, the 3 month and the month and the week goals behind that is what's going to be important too for people. Cause like a month and 6 months, even a year flies by so fast.
Right.
It's like, hey, well, you know, like you said, how come I didn't accomplish that goal? Cause you didn't have those steps set in play, you know, like the meal prep every week and the making sure you're getting in that Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, every single day during the week is important because it's something different to get that, you know, the overall competition standards.
So what's, you know, so what about that? I mean, you know, so that's probably one of those big things where, you know, maybe other people do, but I totally get sidetracked by that, right? So, you know, you do something for a week and you don't necessarily see the results that you think you should be seeing. You know, maybe it's, you know, a number on a scale. Maybe it's, you know, fitting in a pair of pants in this instance or whatever, right? So what do you say to, like, I mean, for goal setting on that, like, you know, how do you help somebody be focused on, you know, don't necessarily look at week one, look at, like, what week four is or, you know, what is that?
Yeah, well, for me, what helps me, maybe I can kind of try to explain it, but, like, I'll have my someday or dream goal. Kind of quoting Megan Watt here on this one, but I mean, that was
love
huge.
It.
I mean, I learned a lot from her and a lot of other people that, you know, take bits and pieces from, but that's important. I mean, have that outlier, that someday 5 year, whatever, 10 year goal, and then work yourself backwards the best you can. Even if you go like, hey, 5 years from now when I would do this, I got a competition in a year. So that's another goal. And the 5 year, like a 3 year goal is maybe kind of chip at, you know, go back and forth with it until you kind of get it filled in. But I like to go backwards from that. But then when it comes down to the moment, like, okay, once I figured out, like, hey, I want to do this competition, in order to do this competition, I have to do these lifts or hit these standards to do well, okay?
Gotcha.
And in order to hit those standards, I got to do these lifts. In order to hit those lifts in, I got to be able to do so-and-so Monday, so-and-so Tuesday, set out your week. And then when it comes down to each week, when it comes to that day, it's already laid out. All you got to do is follow that day. You're not necessarily thinking about the week ahead. You're not thinking about the month ahead. You're thinking about that day. And then within that day, I'm just kind of going down in pieces now, like a big stack of, you know, the people stack the cups.
Nice.
So the smallest one.
I like
on the
that.
Bottom.
The cups, I mean, that's a pretty cool analogy, right? I mean, it's kind of, you know, stacking the cups. Like, yeah, so, I mean, eventually, I mean, think about it, right? I mean, a cup is, I mean, what is that diameter, I mean, of the lid of the cup? I mean, you stack a cup, that's like... I mean, it only goes up a little bit, right? But eventually, enough cups, you've got a tower.
Yeah, even that single little tiny cup is, now if I kind of continue from that in that day, that workout, that set, and that rep. So that rep, the hardest portion, let's say you got, you know, 3 sets of 8 and you're on your third set of 8 of a step up or a squat.
Sure.
Before that, you're like, okay, my spotter isn't watching me. Maybe I can just kind of quit out on this. Maybe I can just be like, okay, I think I did pretty well. I can move on to the next exercise. That's where you grind in and say, okay, what I'm doing now is going to make a difference for the end of the set of the whole day, the next week, and the next month. So really, like, when you find that mental break in your head of like, hey, this is too hard, I want to quit. That's when you're like, you got to fight and say, no, I want to continue. I want to finish this rep with maybe even if, like, you're doing a sprint, for example. Maybe,
sure.
You know, if you're supposed to do 30 seconds, maybe do 31 seconds, taking that step beyond, making yourself feel better, and knowing for sure that you did the absolute possible checklist
most
of, for
possible.
That day. So I find that for me, like, if I get a little bit weak in my mental game when I'm lifting, and, like, I don't want to do those extra couple reps and I'm supposed to burn out, then I'm like, hey, this is what's going to make a difference. I better finish.
Well, and that's, you know, that's a great point too, because think about it, right? I mean, there's the mentality of, hey, at least I showed up today, and, you know, and then the next step is, okay, but I finished it out. And I, you know, I mean, that's right. So, you know, I guess you get some credit for, okay, you showed up today, you know, you showed up to the gym, you showed up, you worked out, you know, you got to be honest with yourself. You slacked off at the end, didn't do that last three, you know, push-ups, or didn't do that last three, you know, leg presses, or, you know, whatever that is, you know, versus, you know, the other mentality of, okay, I showed up and, you know, now I'm going to grind out these last three.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to kill me, or feel like it is, but it's going to, you know, press me that much further.
Yeah, another thing that kind of helps me too, that maybe some other folks can relate to, in when you're setting those goals, I still kind of stay around fitness and working out, but it could be anywhere. You know, if I set my day apart where, like, hey, I have these sessions I got to hit, I got to be in the moment, train them, you know, the best I can, offer the best feedback I can. Mm-hmm. And then when there's breakfast time, you know, it's breakfast time. I'm focused on the food. I'm focused on relaxing. Breakfast. So like when you're working out, maybe you're in the middle of a set, you're like, oh God, this sucks. I want to grind it out. But then think of that time in the later in the day or in the evening when you got family time, you're like, you're completely relaxed. Your feet are up. Just imagine that feeling of like, hey, I can just kind of soak. You just kind of think about the moment when it hurt and just be proud of it.
Yeah.
Think of that ahead of time. And then come back into your body and be like, okay, I got to finish this so I can really fully enjoy that moment of relaxing and really thinking back on how much I've accomplished during that hard moment.
That's usually the next morning when things are like very sore, but like it's a weird sore, right? I mean, it's not like, it's like a, like, oh yeah, that's right. I deadlifted, you know, 365 pounds. Like,
yeah.
You know, oh. You know, I squatted 405, like, you know, whatever, you know,
yeah.
Which I'm not there yet. But, you know, so I know you've got your computer up, and mm-hmm. I guess I was thinking, since we're talking about goals, and, you know, I was talking about the little improvements, right? I mean, your big thing is 1% better every day. So I know you've been tracking things. So what is, I mean, what I was thinking was we would definitely set the goals for, you know, what you've got a goal board, and mm-hmm. Everybody else has got their goals up there. Apparently I have been slacking and I don't have any goals on the board, but you know, I'm a part of this competition and helping planning on competing and everything and going through the Everyday Strongman thing. And so maybe talk to me about like where we've sort of started and what some of those increments have been. And then maybe we talk about what those goals should be that I should have for, you know, I guess to hit as we kind of continue on down this path of the road to competition, so to speak.
Yeah, I just actually finished it this week. I was going to show you it today, but let me bring it up. I changed the March workout. You know, since we tested out, I put together a new plan based on percentages.
Okay.
So I'm going to flip it around so you can see it here. So, you know, based on, so like basically I want to do a light, medium, and heavy. So like if one day we're doing a heavy strength, the accessory should be, you know, maybe medium and then a strongman light. And then the next mm-hmm. day it's flip-flop. So that way you're not doing heavy strength, heavy accessory, heavy strongman. And the next day when you're doing the other lifts, you're totally burnt out. So it's perfect where it balances out. So like let's say, you know, if I'm doing a heavy overhead press on day one and day two, I'm doing maybe a medium or light squat. So it's basically like a central nervous system type deal where like you're not totally taxed by the time Friday comes around, because that's, you know, a deadlift is the most important part of strongman. So like that's where I dig down a little bit deeper with percentages on this, getting your max from what we did or what we're doing this week.
Okay.
And put them in.
Nice.
So.
So where are we at? Like, what are the numbers saying? Where are we?
So you're at overhead press. We didn't. Did we do yoke yet? Let me find the test outs from yours. Okay, we front squatted 285, which is huge. That's
something
we never hit before yet. So I put that in your squat day. You know, we're gonna alternate. Yep. You know, a low bar, back squat, pause. Yep. You know, I just started kind of playing around with my deadlift stance because my deadlift is a little bit slow out of the hole. So I want to kind of mimic that stance as much as I can. So we'll play around with that.
Along that's with, a good point. Yeah, along to with, yeah, test along, that out.
Yeah, along with front squat. to gain more core recruitment and core strength. So, yeah, front squat 285. We'll go off of that for this month for the first 3 weeks, and then the fourth week we'll max out again. We did a 470 yoke, which is pretty much right around the corner from 500, which competition for a novice first guy in, you know, you're probably only going to do like 450 pounds.
Really?
For 80 feet, yeah. So you're going
to... Oh.
I mean, that's a part of the, you know, training in here too. Like, we're kind of overreached just a little bit.
Sure.
So that way the competition seems a little easier.
Well, and that's smart, right? I mean, I think that's probably the way to do it. I mean, you know, you want to be able to make any competition feel much easier, right? So then you're... I feel like it mentally motivates you. Whether you tell yourself, hey, we're going stronger training... you know, or over what, you know, the competition's supposed to be, but
yeah, that's part of, you know, what I learned too, like even with sports, you know, I always, it's always around sports and fitness. So like, I always kind of have my examples on sports, but like high school, I could picture, you know, basketball practice.
Oh, sure.
Sometimes you would, our head coach would get out a basketball that was, I don't know, 20-30% bigger, and it would just barely fit in the rim. So we'd work on our shot, and we have this other shooting system. I forget the name of it, but it had a net around the actual hoop.
Okay.
So your arc, you had to kind of fix and make sure you weren't shooting bricks. I mean, different things like that to make it harder before the game. I mean, the conditioning was always harder. So that way, like, when it came to the game, you didn't have to think. You could have fun. So the competition, same thing. Grind it out in a gym.
The muscle memory is there. Yep. It's like,
so you go in there.
Everything knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited about that, right? I mean, I think if, you know, what I'm kind of envisioning, I guess, aside from the doubt that creeps in, I think, and that creeps in anytime you're working towards any sort of goal, right? I mean, anytime you're trying to, you know, plan and think about things, you know, you start doing things and then you're like, am I doing this right? You know, and especially in a physical thing, you know, the thing I notice is we'll do lifts, there'll be days where, and I don't even think you're doing it intentionally, but you'll be like, oh, that's it. And like, you know, and I know you lift heavier than I do right now. And I say that right now.
Oh, game on. It's competition. I love competition.
But like, yeah, so it's like, but then those are in whatever. And I'm not saying this in a way of you needing to like feel bad or like apologize or anything like that, because it's, I know it's not like, oh, you wimp or anything like that, but it's one of those things that like mentally, you know, ends up creeping in. And I, you know, and I think it's just in doubt in general. Like, I think we doubt ourselves, and, you know, so it's like, you know, so there's days where we come in and then, you know, we'll do stuff and, you know, maybe I hear something like that, or maybe I only get like 14 pushups or something. And I'm like, man, like, am I really going to be ready? I mean, I know this competition is still a couple of months away, but it's like, you know, if this is all I'm doing now, will I really be able to do that, you know, then?
So. I feel that way all the time. I still, so, I mean, like, they always say, like, a standard to do well in amateur strongman, like, the base lifts, like a 600-pound squat and deadlift and, like, an overhead press of 275 to 300 is usually a good, decent standard to compete well.
Okay.
And like an amateur strongman, where obviously if you want to compete, you know, nationally and world, you know, those guys are,
I mean,
they're not
monsters
in weight classes anymore. So, I mean, anything goes for as far as, you know, as big, well, as strong as you can get. So those guys, their standards are 1,000-pound deadlift, you know, 800, 900-plus pound squat, 700 some for reps, because that's a lot of like the world's strongest man. And they'll bench, you know, upwards 500-600 pounds.
You know, and that's what's interesting too, right? I mean, when you start looking at that, you know, not having a weight class. I mean, that's what's sort of, you know, and that's, I think, partially what's a little intimidating about these contests is because, you know, here I am, I'm 5'8", 260.
5'8", really? Only?
Yeah, I know. I'm
like
short.
5'10", at least.
I'm short and round. I'm short and round. And, yeah, so it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I essentially am expected to lift the exact same as someone who's 6'4" and, you know, 180 pounds or maybe 320 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the bigger the, you know, the broader the guy. And it's like, well, yeah. So, I mean, it's a little intimidating, but I think there is something that's motivating by that, you know, to be able to be like, hey, you know, this short, stocky guy can still hang with the big dog, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. I always, you know, I have that in the back of my head, too. And I always look at guys, you know, when it comes to the competition, I compare myself against the lightweight guys that are in my class.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you're strong, you're strong no matter your weight. So you always want to compete to be, you know, the big guy, you know. And even better yet, you know, be a strong guy at a lighter weight. That's, you know, for me, it always was
usually
an interest,
like,
you know, keeping the body weight down. But
well, and that's the thing, too. Like, I mean, some of these, like, strong men are like, I mean, I don't understand it. It's like
420 pounds.
You look at them, like, they look like guys that just drink beer and eat pizza every single day and maybe, like, two pizzas at a sitting.
And they pick stuff up and crush it.
Yeah. Yeah. With their bare hands.
I must break you. They wake up and then they just break stuff in half, it seems like.
It's completely ridiculous. I'm like, how, you know, watching some of these like strongman videos that I've seen and just, you know, seeing these guys just like in their wrestling tights and, you know, like, and they're just round. It's like they're round sausages just encased in like a blue spandex. And they just go to the squat. They got their knee things on. And seriously, I'm not like trying to like make fun. I mean, I'm making a little fun, but I don't mean any harm in it. But yeah, it's like, you know, but then they just like go to town and it's like, where is all that power coming from? Like, where is, you know, so.
It's repetition over, I mean, those guys, I mean, that's an upper level of like, I mean, a lot of it, you know, the marathon runners, strength athletes, all mental strength. I mean, they decide to like, hey, I want to get stronger. Any means necessary. I got to set, you know, my life around those goals. I mean, if it's like a financial goal for some people don't necessarily work out as much as they do or as much as they should.
Right.
Because they have other goals and they're just really zeroed in on that. But yeah, like if for us, like the everyday strongman, that's why we're unique too, because we balance our lives out with, you know, family, kids, businesses that we're, you know, trying to build, and then our strength and our hobbies.
So let me ask you, I mean, is that really realistic? Like, I mean, to be able to compete in one of those contests, but still kind of carry that normal life? Because I think everybody, when they think of strongman, like they immediately go to exactly what I was just talking about, like these big, huge guys, like the Mountain from Game of Thrones and, you know, these huge guys that are just like towers, you know, just lifting ridiculous weights. I mean, is that realistic? I mean, or,
there's a lot of guys that have full-time jobs that are strong, but some of the top guys you'll see, I mean, when it gets so competitive after the last 20, 25 years, people have gotten to the point where like, hey, I need a sponsor. I need to have a job where I can not be quite as active, where I'm expending energy throughout the day so I can save it for a good workout. So other competitors are seeing that. So like, hey, if he's cutting down on his job and getting, you know, sponsorships and
the
residual income, you know, maybe, you know, rental, you know, whatever it is that they do, so they can spend more time, you know, eating, sleeping and training. That's it. So a lot of the top guys, that's all they do. They train 24/7 strongman. And there's, you know, some local guys that I know that, you know, have jobs and careers that are strong too.
But
it's just, you
working,
never know.
Working at the package factory, lifting, squat and kneel stand, you know, lifting stuff every day.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to stress too. Like we have to really work hard, but at the same time, if you don't have adequate nutrition, adequate rest, stress reduction, your body's going to suffer from that. You're not going to get stronger. You're not going to get healthier. So that's a big balance. I mean, that's tough for a lot of people.
Gotcha. So, all right. Well, like, so let's go back to the goals really quick. So we were talking 285 is what we front squatted. Yep. So I guess going towards, we're about the end of the month. So for the end of March, where do you think we should be on that?
Yeah. So we can take each of the strongman exercise and go through them too. But, I would say we'll kind of start with the overhead press. We'll go to the main ones, like the overhead press, the yoke, the farmers, the squat, which is important because it's just, I mean, to be a strong man, you got to be strong in the lower body. So we can include that as one of our goals.
So you can beat me up here. So if there's a spot that we really need to be focusing, just hit me with it.
Yeah, it's
just
everything. It's everything.
Great.
I mean, you're like, actually,
you need a lot of work.
I would say more upper body. Your legs are, I mean, you got a, that's a decent front squat.
Okay.
I would say, you know, let's start with, let's look at some of the overhead pressing first. You hit, let's see, some of the goals, reps here. We didn't didn't max out on the overhead pressing this month. But if I were to remember back, last time we didn't.
Apparently,
so I would say, you know, if we're doing, and it depends on the event too. I mean, there's so many overhead pressing events. So you could go with a log for a max, log for reps,
gotcha.
Circus dumbbell. But let's just pick one of them. I mean, like a log, I would say it will be within this next event that we'll do in May. It'll be a medley. But I'm for sure, if it's a pressing medley, there's always a log in it.
Gotcha.
So otherwise, you know, the other pressing could be a keg, could be a circus dumbbell. It could be an axle or just a barbell, but a log is a staple usually in a strongman event, along with stones and some kind of deadlift and a truck pull.
Okay.
So I would say overhead press log. I would do for a max. I would say, you know, if you want to compete well, if I'd say like good for a first contest, I would say overhead right. press would be, you know, around 240. But okay, if you want to do well and really smoke the first contest, I would say 250 to 275 for a max for okay. For a novice.
So we
guy.
Need to, okay. So we need to get to 250 to 275.
Yep.
By like the 1st of May.
I would, you know, that would be kind of more like your second or third, maybe after our first year.
Okay.
But who knows? Okay. You might get that sooner. But I would say like that's far, you know.
Yeah. No. This
for,
is
for
I
the
mean,
next for the next couple months here. What is it? March, April.
So I mean, we've got two and a half months. Yeah, I mean,
I could say, you know, 20, 30 pounds a month. So I would probably put 240 down for that time.
240. Okay.
It's a good goal.
So at least that way I can hit the stride. Maybe I get it up one or two times and at least I pass. I might not win the event, but I pass the event.
That would be pretty solid if you were to do that. Depending on where the contest is, though, Tom. I'm just being really super critical.
Yeah, no, dude. Like I love it.
The first, I mean, think if you look at the World's Strongest Man, we'll go backwards from there. So, like the guys of the World's Strongest Man, their maxes are getting upwards of 500 pounds in the overhead press. A lot of the guys can do 350 to 400.
Right. I mean, I think it's valuable to be critical. But also somewhat realistic, right? I mean, because you could sit there and be like, hey, you know, just like what you did. You were, you know, you said 240 and then, or 250 to 275. And of course, I'm like, all right, so we got to do that in 2 months. Yeah. And you're like, no. Like, that's year two or year three.
Maybe 6 months. I mean, it would be realistic too. Yeah.
I mean, but that's also, right? I mean, I'm guessing that would probably, I would say it is definitely to be optimistic and to work towards it, you know, to see. But, I mean, I think you kind of put a little bit of reality of what, right? I mean, we can always exceed expectation, but, you know, there's also a level where you have to kind of be realistic so you don't necessarily fail and you're setting a realistic goal, right?
Yep.
I mean, kind of going back to, like, the $1 million, like, okay, yeah, $1 million is a realistic goal, but if you're putting I want to make $1 million by the end of next month, that might be a little bit more unrealistic for some, you know, or many.
Depends on who you come in contact
this
with.
This is true. This is true.
Everybody's different with their genetics and lifting, but then somebody could be a millionaire tomorrow, depending on who you run into to get stuff done.
Oh, right. Yeah, 100%. I agree. I mean, but just grounding in a little bit of reality. So,
yeah.
But I think 240 is solid, right? I mean, that puts a number in my head to the, okay, I got to focus to get there. You know, and either we go above or, you know, get close, you know, so that's a target goal, right? And I think that's a realistic target goal, but you've kind of set that. So now maybe the push is like, all right, well, maybe I want to up that a little bit. And maybe I really do want to hit 250 just to be like, I showed you, Corey.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's part of it too. I mean, like proving a guy wrong. I mean, that's what fuels a fire too.
So actually the end of this, you're just gonna be like, you can't do this. You can't do that. You
Since
can't
we're off
do
the
this.
Mic now, I can tell you how it is. No, I'd say yeah, that's really realistic in a couple months to hit 240.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to take a lot of hard work. I'm a, after, you know, we'll see what this week looks like too. We'll do some overhead pressing tomorrow along with some horizontal. Maxing.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. I mean, that's kind of one of my tough spots, right? I mean, my left side's a little bit off pace from the right side, so you know, needing to figure out how best to balance that out and you know, overcome that. And I think, so that's something to work on too. So I definitely agree. That's probably a I don't know, a soft spot, but a weak spot maybe that we need to work on. So yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, like if I were to do an example of my overhead press, my all-time goal is 300 pounds on a log. I've done 265 last month, but I have a goal of hitting 300 by June. So, I mean, I've been doing it, you know, for almost 10 years. So I kind of factored that into too, but like still, you know, 25, 30 pounds is a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But that's when it comes in of, you know, hitting the strict pressing and hitting the higher volume stuff to gain a little hypertrophy and hitting the, you know, make sure your core is strong, your legs, you're hitting your deadlifts and your squats.
But that's, we're going to have to do more of those V.
Maybe, yeah, those are good too.
Work the core. Oh, that was murder on my core.
Yes. Yeah, so in into the squat, your squat, your front squat's really good. I was around like 315. Back squat is around 450 and deadlift about the same way. And I do pretty well in a contest. That's for my lightweight after novice. But, you know, for you, I would probably shoot for those similar numbers, you know, like a 300, 325 in a couple months in a front squat.
Okay.
Deadlift.
Yeah. I mean, I'm noticing on the front squat too. I mean, is, you know, it's, definitely the core and the upper, like, I mean, I can rest stuff on my shoulders, no problem, and squat, but it's that
a lot of upper keeping back,
it,
core, yeah.
Keeping myself from falling forward on a front squat is kind of, what I'm finding is tough once we start adding up that weight, right? I mean, so we did 285, and hitting that last press, doing that was like I was fighting. Like to make sure I was going up instead of forward and up, you know.
Yeah,
it's up and forward.
It's a challenge. It's a challenging little bugger of an exercise. It's tough. But with squats, I would shoot, you know, somewhere around 300 pounds on a front squat would be pretty good. In a couple months, that would be really solid. Back squat, I wouldn't worry too much on. I mean, you know, somewhere around like 400, 450 would be pretty good. Deadlift, same way, 450 to. I would shoot for 450 right now. 500 should be really right around the corner after that, but let's wait for late summer. I would say late summer, fall would be around 500.
And we're 350, 365 on the deadlift?
It was the deadlift, yeah, was right around that, if I believe, 365, 370, yeah. So, okay.
So we need to get another 65, 75 pounds in there.
But that's where the other small goals come in, you know, for other people that are listening here. You know, Shane, we're working a lot of hamstring flexibility with getting him in a good position.
Yeah.
To stay back on midfoot heel instead of, you know, letting the bar travel too far forward and lifting on his toes. So, I mean, those are little things that.
Well, let's talk about that. That's actually a good point. So, you know, that's one of the things that we've noticed, right, with training is that I've got a little tightness in the old hammies.
Yep.
that is throwing that off. So tell me a little bit. I mean, just the benefits of stretching, posture, whatever that is, because. Obviously that all plays a part into, powerlifting strong, you know, doing strongman competitions. And that's something I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, yeah, I just grab the bar, lift it up. But I mean, we're finding I've got a little, imbalance or lack of flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, even that's what's tough too, to work through. I mean, you just want to pick the bar up and lift it. Right. But, you know, over time, as you get stronger, in those bad positions, you know, injuries are going to happen. So having that good flat back, being centered, having that straight bar path on the deadlift. But, you know, if there's a little bit of rounding of the low back, you know, that maybe we can strengthen that low back a little bit and loosen the hamstrings to kind of get that pelvic tilt to where we need it. But, that happens, you know, either way too. You know, I mean, somebody that's a little bit tighter in the hip flexor, you know, they're going to get a rounding in the pelvis. Mm-hmm. One way versus if they're a little bit weaker in the core and they can't quite, you know, pull themselves in to keep that back flat. There's a lot of things in the front side and the back side that take a lot of balance in that.
Gotcha. So I need to work the core, stretch the hammies, keep lifting upward.
Or even on your end, actually, if there's a posterior tilt, it would be strengthen the low back, loosen the upper hammies, and stretch the abs. You know, that's the thing. That's what's tough too. You know, you can be, dysfunction is kind of tough too, because like you can be weak in that area, and you can be tight in that area at the same time. That's what's really tough, because like you want to strengthen that at the same time, you want to really stretch it too, because that's pretty common. So if people have a hip shift on a squat, or if they fall forward, this or that.
So what is that? I mean, is that there's something that causes that, or
a lot of, it's it could be. I mean, I don't know for sure on that. It could be a little genetics, could be movement patterns throughout the day.
Gotcha.
That are a habit of sitting, putting yourself in that position. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I mean, even thinking about, where you have your pelvis, where you have your shoulder blades. I mean, everything throughout the whole body, throughout the whole day, always makes a little bit of difference.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, and especially, right, I mean, it's been, I was sharing with you before we started talking, obviously, that I went to the doctor and we were... I told you I was going to bring it up. So, I was teasing that the doctor told me I was fat, but it was not what he said. Said I could probably use a little more cardio, but otherwise, all the tests came back looking pretty good. So, obviously, I wanted to make sure that things were good. One, because of my age, I'm, over the 35 hump, so you got to start.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were 30, over 35.
Yeah, I hit the 36. Well, great. Oh. Now we just gave up my age. This is great. Way personal. So you've gotten my
32.
Weight, you've gotten my age, you got my height. Like, next you're going to ask for my social security number, and it's all going to be done. You're like,
here, hold on. What is
gonna,
that? I'm going
to get a fake ID in me. It's great.
So go ahead.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Five, five, five. So obviously, right? I mean, we're training for something that, is obviously a very strenuous activity. And, like we saw at where it was minimal, I mean, there were people that encountered injuries mm-hmm. at the last competition. So keeping that in mind, obviously I went and did my due diligence and let my physician know what was... happening, what I was doing, what I was working on. And of course, his first comment was, well, I haven't seen you in a long time, but good to hear things are well.
Nice.
And, wanting to get that in line and make sure that was kind of going on. But, it was, he had kind of tracked my weight. There was like five times. The point where I was going was that there was five times in which I had been in over the last... 4 years. So I've gone to the doctor 5 times, 4 years, which is pretty solid. And most of those have been minor, sicknesses, and of course they take your weight anytime just in case for medications they need to give you. So, so I basically went in and he's like, well, so let's look at this. And it came down to what has happened over that 4 years, right? I mean, there's lifestyle changes, and interesting enough, that weight literally changed with what was taking place. So I maintained a very steady weight, and then it shot up, and it shot up along the time in which we were having our second child.
Yeah,
so you're
gaining weight too.
I totally
pregnancy
gained
weight.
Like, so there's, I get that there's only 5 data points, but clearly there is some truth to like that whole thing of, pregnancy weight goes both ways. So,
oh, yeah.
But then that's added stress in there too. And of course, then there was some drop down and now it's kind of leveled out. But I just thought that was very interesting overall. I joked and said that it went up so much because I had my boots on, but
going out with my boots on.
Yeah. So, kind of going back to it, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened over that period of time, and we all get into these kind of routines or these changing routines that cause us to, either lose weight, gain weight, additional stresses, and, sitting certain ways, long periods of time, lots of travel where you're sitting in a position, driving around, whatever that case may be, makes sense for, coming into the gym and wanting to start a training program where there might be those kind of displacements with the body.
Yeah, right. I mean, having making sure you're hitting your maxes and seeing where you're at periodically, like the once a month is important too, because like finding where you can hit before the ego takes over and you get to the contest, you like, you have those goals of hitting those big marks, but at the same time, like, you have to have in the back of your head,
right?
Yeah, I'm still the everyday strong man. I still have a life. I don't want to get hurt. You know, I want to hit these goals, and if I hit them, maybe I'll go up a little bit, but I'm not going to look around everybody else and shoot up, you know, 100 more pounds of my deadlift just because I want to keep up with them. And that's, you know, sometimes that's where injuries happen too.
Right.
But that's where the importance of keeping track of what you're doing in the gym, having goals, and then meeting each of your maxes, and then basing your warm-ups and stuff throughout the strongman accordingly.
I gotcha. Well, I'm super excited about that. I mean, I think that's, you know, definitely I think we're on the right track with it. You know, I guess what are, you know, obviously we, you know, everyday regular kind of people just doing a kind of having interest in an extraordinary contest. You know, so how do you kind of relate to, you know, the everyday aspect? I mean, so we're doing, you know, how do these exercises translate into, you know, everyday things?
Yeah. I mean, we can even do a video on this and show those folks that are tuning in. You know, obviously, like if we take an Atlas stone lift, a big boulder that you know some people folks will see on TV in the World's Strongest Man, that would represent that would represent a big box that you pick up when you're moving. I mean,
getting those Amazon deliveries,
understanding how to put yourself in a good position to do a deadlift first, and then you know grabbing a stone, learning it. You know, it's a lot of different technique, basically the same type of muscle groups, besides some more upper body and grip, but. kind of translating that to everyday living, making sure that, because most of the time we get hurt, we do it outside the gym, you know, doing something stupid at home. It's hardly ever, you know, you don't hear much injury. You always hear somebody say, yeah, how'd you get hurt? And you're like, you know, they're embarrassed about, you know, talking about it.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, when you, you know, pull your back out or, you know, twist, you know, I don't know, like strain your shoulder or something, you know, just doing an everyday thing. I mean, you feel silly about it because you're like, I shouldn't have had that happen. But you did.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, then, you know, that's where we, you know, come into play with the everyday strongman and some of the functional, lifts in the gym, teaching people those good positions and then enhancing them with, you know, corrective exercise, stretching and activation work.
So I think that that's...
it becomes easy, you know, in the competition then, and you know, your everyday life is your competition. So.
Right, getting out, playing with the kids, you know, being active with the missus or the mister, or, you know, if you're a lady wanting to do the contest too, you know. Yeah.
For sure.
You know, actually, I will say, I mean, going back, because you just said the stretching and stuff, it's, you know, probably part of my hamstring issue is also, you know, I was sharing with you that I got really into fitness in my mid-20s. I went through a period where lost a bunch of weight, but I read an article where, it said there was no significant science behind stretching before you work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, perfect. Then I don't need to stretch anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, but I think, so then of course I also wasn't stretching after because I was all worked out and tired. I'm like, it's stretched everything out working out. But, you know, so it's probably likely where the hamstring tightness has come from because I've worked out so much over the years or doing various things and never really stretching. And you know, it's amazing at how inflexible or unflexible I was or still am.
But. Yeah, we want to also want people to understand too, like there's a purpose to a warm up. You know, there's the stretching is kind of a small term now, I guess you can say, because I mean, the warm up should be relative to what you're doing in activity, starting slow. And we covered this in previous podcasts, but like starting slow and then building up in intensity and building up in range of motion. So, whatever your intensity of, like if it's a cardio day, you're going to have, you know, upwards of 80, 90% of your heart rate. So, you want the warm up to progress to that intensity. And number two, you want your body to be able to be lubricated enough in those certain positions of what you're going to be able to have to handle in the exercise. And the other side, so if you're doing strength training, you also, you know, want your heart rate up a little bit, but you more importantly want your nervous system recruited, activated in similar patterns of what you're doing in a routine. So there's basic dynamic movement stretching to progressively provide blood flow in the muscles besides just stretching and lengthening them right out because muscles don't like to be
sure.
stretched right away when they're cold. You can provide that progressive blood flow. And then doing movements, incorporating movements that are similar to the exercise. So if you're doing a deadlift, you want to, you know, practice the hinge,
mm-hmm.
practice activating and recruiting the muscles necessary for that deadlift. So the core, the hamstrings, the glutes. So that way when you grab the bar and warm up, you're ready to go. So that's kind of like the long term of a stretch.
Yeah. No, and that's, you know, I think that's a great way of even looking at it and kind of understanding it, because I think, you know, so often we hear stretch and it's just like, oh, okay, downward dog, side bends,
yeah.
you know, a couple of twists, you know, maybe a lunge or two.
Yeah.
Know?
And those are all great too. I mean, there's a, I mean, depending on your goal too. I mean, yoga is great. I recommend people do it all the time on their off days just to stay limber and to do, I mean, just like a stretch in those positions longer than you would in a warm up.
I mean, I tell you, I feel like sometimes the sweat really comes from the stretch, not yeah. like the lift. It's like my body will be like, you know what? Let's go back over there, do another deadlift. We don't need to stretch anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there've been a handful of times where getting down on the floor and doing the stretches, that's when the sweat really starts pouring.
Oh yeah, I mean
pushing that.
Yeah, and even to kind of stretch by a means not to stretch the muscle to lengthen it, but more of like thinking in terms of I want to stretch these areas to improve mobility in this joint. So like, hey, I want to be able to lengthen and stretch the hip flexors, the quads and the glutes and the hamstrings to provide optimal range of motion for the hip for great hip mobility. So obviously you need good hip mobility for the squat, the deadlift,
mm-hmm.
picking up, you know,
picking up chairs, off the floor. Picking up litter anything, off the ground, so picking up after your kids' toys.
In terms of stretching, I think it more of is like, okay, let's do our mobility, like afterwards, like, mm-hmm. hey, let's work on mobility again while you're warm, while you're still have blood flow to enhance that those areas, like the shoulder, the upper back, the hips, and the ankles.
Nice. Well, that's good stuff, sir.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What do we got next?
Well, we got, we're going to kind of lead into throwing some exercises together for these folks to see and how they can kind of relate to forming their own everyday strongman routine and kind of maybe showing them what we're doing here.
Perfect. Well, why don't you tell us what those exercises are and kind of how we go through them, and we'll make sure then that there's a video that we can kind of put to that.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll do a stone lift and a tire flip. And those are kind of the staple classic strawman exercises that can translate to picking up a box or picking up anything off the ground. It'll kind of go through technique on that, positions, you know, maybe some warm-up exercises, and then within the tire flip that can represent, you know, lifting up, moving a couch or anything in daily life. So,
well, I'm looking forward to seeing those, and I'm guessing I get to be the guinea pig and do them?
Yep.
All right, well, perfect. So everybody will have to watch the video of me doing the strongman exercises that actually convert to everyday activities, which is super cool. I think that's kind of like been the other fun thing about this workout we've been doing and going through this training is that, you know, it does. Like, I so many times I find myself kind of like, oh, I do this every day, you know, doing this with my kids. And actually, that's sort of what I end up finding myself doing is I end up going home and I end up doing the movements in some sort of activity with my kids. And then I'm like, oh, well, this will help my squats, or, oh, this will help my overhead press. I'm just going to toss this baby up in the air.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, it's every day we're flipping tires at home. It's great. So
yeah, let's get after it. I mean, within that time frame, we can have folks kind of get an idea of what's going on, what we do in the gym to help the everyday strongman. So if you guys are interested in tuning in or learning more about what we do in the gym or at Digman Fitness in general or the community, feel free to check us out at digmanfitness.com. Subscribe to our email list. Check us out on Facebook at Digman Fitness, our YouTube channel, Digman Fitness as well. And, you know, who knows? You know, you could be the next everyday strongman. So, I mean, there's the introductory special, I guess you say, is unlimited training. You get your assessment. Within that time, within that first month period, for $99. So come check us out.
Perfect. Do it. Well, thanks, Corey. Like, that was a lot of fun.
It was awesome. Thanks, Shane. Glad you could make it in.
Perfect. I'm glad I could join you tonight.